This is KCUR 89.3. State House Blend is a weekly political podcast that investigates the Kansas legislature and the Missouri General Assembly.
Introduce yourself, please.
I'm Representative Denny Hoskins. I'm the Speaker Pro Tem of the Missouri State House of Representatives and represent the 54th District.
Let's get started.
This is State House Blend. I'm Sam Zeff.
And I'm Brian Ellison. We're using coffee
and donuts
to better understand the legislatures on both sides of the state line,
the issues and the people in Topeka
and Jeff City. Here we go. And welcome to the production studio here at KCUR 89.3. I am Brian Ellison, and it is good to have Representative Denny Hoskins with us. We also are joined at the table by Bess Hales, who is a teacher in Lee's Summit. Welcome, Bess.
Well, thank you very much.
And also Kyle Palmer, the morning newscaster here at KCUR.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Good to have you. Let's go around and see what's on their minds this morning. How about you, Bess Hales? What's on your mind this morning?
Well, education, of course. Being a French teacher, a public school French teacher, I'm just wondering about public education, what you see for struggling districts such as the Kansas City, Missouri School District and things like that.
Both my parents are retired school teachers from the state of Missouri. You know, public school education is very important. And this past year, we spent about $84 million more we put back into the foundation formula. However, we were not able to fully fund the foundation formula based on that calculation. However, when I was not around when the foundation formula was set up and back in 2004, 2005, but they did a great job of planning when state revenues increased for the school foundation formula. However, they had no modifications if state revenues decreased. And so that's the struggle that we've had in the Missouri State House is to try and keep up with the school foundation formula and adding more money to that every year when state revenues have decreased.
An interesting development in Missouri, though, is the changing nature of the standards and the tests. The General Assembly voted to defund the Common Core standards or the tests that were aligned to the Common Core standards in math and English. And now DESE is currently in the process of rewriting new standards.
I should say, when Kyle said that a minute ago, Bess looked at you, turned from her microphone and mouthed the words, "Thank you."
We should be clear that Common Core refers only to math and English.
Right. And Bess teaches French, but she still is glad you got away
from the
Common
Core. Yes. I have serious concerns about the Common Core standards. And you know, does it sound good in general when you say, okay, yeah, we'll have these common standards. So if you're in fourth grade in Missouri and you move to Arizona, you should have the same basic knowledge and experience and same standards in both places. Yeah, and in theory, it does sound good. But I will tell you that across the, you know, we have such a diverse United States and diverse employment and other things. So I was proud of my vote. I stuck with my vote, and now we'll continue to work on setting some standards for Missouri children.
You are the Speaker Pro Tem of the Missouri House. Maybe this question is in order. What does the Speaker Pro Tem do anyway?
That's a great question. You know, my official duties as far as Speaker Pro Tem are to fill in when the Speaker is sick or absent. And there are two people that are voted, two members of leadership that are voted by the entire Missouri House, both Republicans and Democrats. That's the Speaker of the House and the Speaker Pro Tem. So now what exactly does that mean, fill in for the Speaker? Well, I spend a lot of time when we're in session on the dais, and part of my responsibilities are to manage the floor, who speaks, who is called upon for amendments, what amendments are approved, what amendments are not approved. So we do a lot of back behind the scenes work to where we have, you know, amendments are filed on different bills, and myself and my staff and office look through those amendments and see which ones we agree with and ones we believe should be recognized on the floor, and then ones we believe are not such great amendments and would definitely gut the bill. And so when I'm up on the dais, we have a list and come up with a list in order to see which amendments are approved.
Sitting in that chair a couple months ago, we had Representative Judy Morgan,
yes,
a Democrat from here in Kansas City. She suggested that she has felt at times in the House like women are called on less often, and that progressives or Democrats are called on less often. Do you think that's fair?
I've had discussion with Judy before, as well as members of the minority caucus. I would say currently there are twice as many Republicans as there are Democrats. And so usually when I am on the dais and in the chair, I will call on probably twice as many Republicans as I do Democrats. I'm sure anyone could make an argument, say, well, you don't call on enough pro-life people. You always call on the pro-choice people or something like that. But I guess to sum it up, I would disagree with Judy. There's amendments. I'll call on those amendment makers first. I would usually call sometimes based on seniority, who's been in the House the longest, whether it's Republican or Democrat, the committee chairman that heard that bill. Many times I will call on them. As well as the minority senior member on that committee.
But you're not screening out people who you know are going to say something you disagree with?
No. I think healthy debate is always good. I think we need to hear from both sides, people that are in favor of as well as against a particular bill or amendment.
Kyle, you?
Yeah, I wanted to get back to the issues a little bit as well. That was an interesting discussion. But some of the things you were talking about made me think of another issue that's come up relatively recently, came up about 20 votes short of overriding Nixon's veto. Yes. I know you voted for the override to implement right to work in Missouri.
I've always been a supporter of right to work. I think that workers should have the freedom to choose if they want to be in a union or not. One of the ways to economic prosperity here in the state of Missouri is that we've become a right to work state.
In your opinion, what are the benefits of that? Why are you pushing so hard for that?
I think it comes back to one word, freedom. Freedom to choose. Freedom to choose if I'm a want to join the union. I mean, if the union is such, it benefits me and I think it is beneficial not only to my job but to the business and things like that, I'm going to join the union. But it is a fact that the union's membership has continued to decline.
Kyle?
Well, I don't want to leave Beth too quickly. I mean, teacher.
Yes.
And part of a teacher's union, member
yes.
of a teacher's union.
Yes.
What do you see as – do you see right to work as a threat or how do you feel about right to work?
I guess what I would say is I would make a metaphor of NPR since we're on an NPR station and just say everybody in the community benefits from listening to NPR and they have a choice as to whether or not they want to support that financially. I think that you guys can tell us that not everybody that listens and benefits is out there supporting. I think it's the same thing with the unions. Everybody that is working for that company that is unionized is benefiting from the union. And if you give them a choice as to whether or not they want to pay money, most people are going to say no thank you just because they want that in their pocket.
Denny, you want to respond to that? I mean, that's her take as a member of a union, as a teacher who is she wants to be forced, as you say, to pay.
And I'm not forced, by the way. I do have a choice. I can choose to be in a union or not.
Right. Yeah. Teachers can. And I don't know which teacher union you're a member of. But, yeah, teachers can choose. And obviously you see the benefits of being in a union and you choose to continue to be a member of the union and you see value in that. And I think that's great. You see the value and benefits of being a union member, but you're not forced into joining that union. And many of our other occupations, they are forced to join the union, whether they see any value or benefits in that. And I don't think that's right. I think that they should have the choice.
On that note, we will end this edition of State House Blend. I want to thank KCUR's Kyle Palmer for being here.
Yeah, thank you for having me.
And also Bess Hales from Lee's Summit. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Before we go, Denny, in an effort to get to know you just a little better, we always end by asking you to tell us your favorite song. And we will go out on that piece of music. What is your favorite song? What's an appropriate song for the day, anyway?
Let's go with Margaritaville from Jimmy Buffett.
Can't go wrong with Margaritaville. It's always a winner. State Representative Denny Hoskins, thanks so much for being here.
Thank you.
Statehouse Blend is produced by Matt Hodapp. I'm Brian Ellison. We'll see you next time.
Wasting away.
That was an excerpt from Statehouse Blend, KCUR 89.3's podcast about the Kansas Legislature and the Missouri General Assembly. You can find the full episode by subscribing to us on iTunes or at kcur.org/statehouseblend.